Okay.
Okay. Jetzt haben wir Michael McMahon und
Nessa Saucedo of the LAPD, the Los Angeles Police Department, which is one of the most famous police departments in the world. There is another one, of course, the NYPD, but LAPD, everyone knows them because of all the movies that we've seen that involves the LAPD. How have you been, Michael?
Hey, good morning, sir, from Los Angeles. We've been okay. Thanks for asking. It's a real honor to be here. Thank you.
Thank you for taking the time and getting up so early. I think it's not that early anymore. It's probably, well, it is early. It's 6:30, right?
Just about. The sun is just coming up here in Los Angeles. Yeah.
Okay. You can tell us something about the COVID measure related situation in California and the resistance against vaccine mandates and more within the local police force. We will also, in our chat, we will also inform everyone about the possibility of the donations for their lawsuit. It's Roll Call for Freedom on givesendgo.com. But everyone can see this in our chat. I think this is important because you're not going to be quitting your jobs. Rather, you're going to go to court and fight this, right?
With the grace of God, yeah, we're gonna be fighting this as hard as we can. Mm-hmm. It's the city of Los Angeles has implemented a measure to force its city employees to have the COVID-19 vaccine as a condition of our employment. Mm-hmm. And if we choose not to receive that experimental shot, we will face termination or, I'll be honest, they haven't really said exactly what we're going to face, but right now we're looking at suspension, possibly loss of pay and up to termination at this point. Mm-hmm.
And how was the sentiment amongst the amongst your colleagues, amongst the other police officers? Is it that people are in line with the government and believe that these so-called vaccinations are necessary and the only way out? Or is it that many of them believe there's something wrong, we have questions, or do they simply give in because they don't understand that these vaccines carry a very high risk?
Well, to be perfectly honest, right now it's about a third and a third. You know, there are those of us that are standing up to this, which is why obviously you invited me on the show. But there's also a good percentage of individuals who are submitting a religious exemption. They find that the vaccine and the manufacturers are using a stem cell line that is against their religion. But we're also under heavy coercion from our workplace, and they are threatening some heavy-handed tactics with what they're coercing these employees to do. They're just giving in and getting the shot just in order to keep their job.
How well informed are your colleagues about what these vaccines really are? Do they know that there's no real medical trials underlying these vaccines? Do they know that there have been very serious side effects that were even reported to VAERS? Or do they simply rely on what the mainstream media says, which is basically it's effective and it's safe?
Yeah, I think you and I both know that most of the American populace is relying on the mainstream media to get their information with regards to the vaccinations. You know, we've been subjected here for 19 months with a constant barrage of the propaganda paid for by big pharmaceutical companies. I believe our previous president had signed some sort of executive order that allows for the propagandizing of the American public. Mm. And they're taking full advantage of that as well.
Mm. I know that in San Francisco, there's a group of, or there was a pretty large group of municipal employees with police officers, firefighters, and other municipal employees. And but from this group, what we hear is, well, many of us have to give up because the pressure is so hard, and many of us just need to make a living, which also indicates to me that, again, people up there do not or are not fully informed about the real risks of what is going on. This is, as far as we are concerned, as far as what we've heard from all of the experts who we spoke with, this is not about, not just about getting a shot and then keeping your job. It's about life and death, really, potentially. Not always, but potentially. And I suspect that most people in the general population, just as amongst your colleagues, do not know about this. Is this correct?
100%. 100% correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe Veronica might like to expand on that, but.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate because, like we discussed a few minutes ago, the population relies on the mainstream media. There's an inherent trust that what the local media states is true. And unfortunately, a lot of our employees are relying on this as their primary source of income in order to provide for their families. And many of them even question the authenticity of the vaccine, but the circumstance that they're in providing for their family outweighs a lot of the risks that they've been informed of. And even on our notifications from our department, they have acknowledged minimal risk, stating that soreness, redness, and stiffness in the injection area pretty much summarizes what the risks are of taking these injections. And that's, as you and everybody on this call knows, that it's completely false information that's being conveyed about these injections. So overall, people are making life and death decisions with these injections with no informed consent.
Now, the only positive thing about this is that if they do run into difficulties, meaning if they do suffer side effects, even serious side effects, they can, of course, go after those who are responsible, including the doctors, because whatever kind of consent they gave, it is definitely invalid, simply because this is not informed consent. They're not getting the information that they should get. On the other hand, what good is that going to do in the end? Because you can, of course, you can, in some cases, one can be made whole by getting paid damages, but this is about health and maybe death. This is not really good news. It's an important piece of information that maybe if those of your colleagues who are thinking about getting the vaccinations or the shots, if they get this information, maybe that'll make them think twice, but I'm not sure. Now, the biggest problem is, what are you going to do if you do get suspended? We have spoken with the former deputy chief of police from the city of Rome just before we started talking to you. And we spoke with the former brigadier general, one of the former brigadier generals of the Austrian Armed Forces. The former deputy chief of police has another job. She's a lawyer. And our former brigadier general has another job. He's a mountain guide. But what are you going to do? Do you have a fallback position?
That's a really good question. And it's something that I've discussed with my family, along with a few of my colleagues like Michael. And it really is about getting to a place in our country where there are still some freedoms that are protected, and looking for alternative protection. It may or may not be in law enforcement, but it's something that I and my husband have been planning for, and it is a real decision that we face.
Mm-hmm.
How has your protest been received by the general public? Has there been, is this broadcast, and how has the media reacted to this, and how have people reacted also in maybe your neighborhood or your friends? Or
are you getting support?
That's tough, because we get some really good quiet support from those who are like-minded. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult for them to make this public, because the mainstream media also on the other side is saying that that we are misinformed, that we're misinforming people about this vaccine, that we're putting our selfish decision-making ahead of public safety in choosing not to be vaccinated. They're also attacking our character. They've called me an insurrectionist. They've posted alternative media profiles for Michael and I, claiming that we are insurrectionists and we empathize with some various groups known in the United States for that are anti-government, that are anti-policing, anti-public safety. And there's just a whole alternative profile that's being spun falsely about who we are.
So this is they're trying to frame you in such a way as to make you appear as though you're anti-government, anti-democratic. This is basically what they're doing all over the world. Right-wing, Nazi. That's how they're trying to frame us. That's how they tried to frame the former general of the Austrian army as well. It is quite obvious that, and most people should, if they see all of these examples happening over and over again, should begin to become suspicious. At least those who really know you, those people, they should really know that this is what they call framing. But does your family support you? Do your family and friends, do they still support you? Do they understand? Are they the quiet supporters?
My family and I stand on the same foundation, mm-hmm. and I have their full support. I have a few close friends that I can rely on who know me, and they support my decision making, and they've been very open about it and sharing this information with those who can provide support. And I think as far as the silent support, it's some of the public who has come across articles or public information. Those are some silent reporters and silent supporters. Michael, do you want to add to that?
I've been fortunate to have a great support system with my own friends. And you know, these are the times where you really find out who your true friends are. You know, to speak the truth. It's an uncomfortable thing. You know, I never wanted to be here, but here I am. I find myself speaking out for people who aren't ready to speak up for themselves yet. We're at this critical stage of our existence, and we're being inundated with this false narrative, and we're speaking truth to power. And, this is the time where we find out who our true friends are. And the friends that we lose from speaking this truth, for everyone we lose, we gain two. Yeah. You know, there is the silent majority here. And the friends that we're making now are those friends that we keep. And that's the important thing. You know, but I also wanted to mention, you know, our group is not necessarily, we're not pro-vaccine, we're not anti-vaccine. For us as Angelenos, as Americans, we are big on freedom of choice, and they're removing our freedom of choice from this whole ordeal. When Veronica and myself and the other co-founders of our group, when we started this, that's what we started it under. You know, it's to stress that we're all free to make our own decisions about what we put into our bodies. You know, I stated we are endowed at birth with free will. And as Americans, we have freedoms written to our Constitution, freedoms that if allowed to be curtailed, we'll never get back. You know, our country, our democratic republic is the great experiment in self-governance. And that's under attack from both foreign and domestic agents that seek only to subjugate us and rule over us under the flag of a one world government. You know, as police officers, we're the last line of defense in this nation. We're trying to get our message out to law enforcement all over the country and all over the world. As we swore an oath to protect the people of Los Angeles and essentially the people of our country. You know, our powers come directly from the consent of the governed, and we must protect the governed, our city and our country as a result of that. Mm-hmm. One of the things I keep saying is that being an LAPD officer, and like you mentioned earlier in your opening, you know, we're the most famous police department in the country, maybe even the world. All eyes are focused on us, and we sort of set the standard and the precedent in how policing should be done. This is why our fight is so important, because the eyes of the world are essentially upon us, and they're waiting to see what we do. We can't falter. We can't break. Losing is not an option here, because it'll have a ripple effect across all of American policing. You know, we stand firmly against totalitarianism, medical tyranny. Our civil liberties are being eroded at breakneck speeds, and we need to put the brakes on this before we're all blown off the cliff. Freedom is essentially what made this experiment known as America prosper for the last 245 years. Myself, Veronica, we stand along with all the freedom patriots here. We're just standing for the citizens, and we just need to keep fighting.
Exactly. That is the point. And by speaking out and by speaking truth to corruption, essentially, I think you are addressing many more people than just your colleagues from the LAPD. I think you are addressing and you're getting the attention of many people in this world, because you and Veronica, both of you, come across as LAPD officers who are not in it because they wanted a job, but because they believe in your function as a police officer, as the last line of defense. I think I told you when we first spoke that my father was a police officer, and he truly believed that he was there to serve and protect, just like you do. That's why I became an attorney, because I wanted to do the same, only on a different level. And since all of this is now under attack, this is not about left and right. This is not about Republican and Democrats. It's not about black and white. It is about the fight against totalitarianism. I think that's and tyranny. That's how it's as simple as that, basically. You can use other more. You can use legal mumble jumble for this, but that's what it boils down to. This is about the fight for freedom, the fight against tyranny. This is what I think his name is Christian Granucci. He's the LA captain of the LA fire department, I believe. And that's he said it in exactly the same words. And it was very obvious to anyone who saw this video clip that he's behind this. This is not just someone who's trying to sound good, but just like you and Veronica, you come across as really authentic people. And that is what takes the people with you, that'll bring them on your side, that'll eventually turn the tide. That's why I also said we have to connect on an international level, all of us, you as police officers, with Dr. Scalero, who we talked with before we started this interview with you, because the connection of people is extremely important. It is the strength that we have as a community of people, as police officers, lawyers, doctors, whatever. It is this kind of strength that the other side doesn't have. They only have violence and coercion. That's not what'll work in the end.
And, you know, Michael, I think you said this in a very beautiful manner. And I think it's really going to, you know, take people by their hearts to sort of look into into themselves, sort of inside, and feel that maybe they can also not carry on with the lie and really come out and say, this is not what I wanted. I want to save my country. I want to save the freedoms that we have that makes this your country and also our country so special. You know, I mean, all around the world, we've been fighting very hard for what we believed was democracy. And I think it's now our turn. I mean, people before us. And I think it's now our turn to really, make democracy come into full bloom and really have the freedom and the, you know, the liberties that we have had and defend them also for us now and for future generations. This is really what's it about now. And I think you're going to be a great inspiration for others to come forward and, do the same thing. And then more and more people are going to come forward. I think it's going to be like a waterfall at some point.
An avalanche, unstoppable.
Thank you for saying so. It's when we first started this, it was so important for us. We initially started it as for ourselves. I mean, we love the job that we do. We want to save the job that we do, but we also want to save America. We want to save America and make it a place that our children can inherit, can grow up in. And we didn't want to see an America where we have less civil liberties than we do now. Just for America, for example, we have the Patriot Act that was enacted right after 9/11. Yeah. And one of the things I say is that 20 years later, we still take our shoes off in the airport.
Yeah.
You know, these are prior to that, those are freedoms that we'll never get back. Mm. And if we give up our bodily autonomy here, if we give up our medical freedoms, what's next after that? I don't want to return to the old normal. I don't want to return to a new normal as they're stressing in the media. Mm. I just want to remain free. Mm. And people all over the world want freedom. You know, as Americans, we're being conditioned to view our freedoms as being selfish, but people over the world have died previously to ensure that those freedoms are maintained. And I'd like to continue that going.
Yeah. We have to keep up the good fight. There's no other way. And as you said, losing is no option. We have to win, and we will win for just that purpose. We're the good ones. They're the bad guys. It's as simple as that. It's very obvious too. Okay. Well, is there anything you want to add, Michael or Veronica?
Thank you for having us on and including us. It is difficult to hear that this is going on around the world as we see short clips because much of the media is being censored here in the United States. Yeah. Michael and I and our colleagues have tried to do our best to keep a pulse on what's going on across the globe. So as difficult as it is to hear this, we appreciate it because it reminds us that the fight is real and it's going on globally. And it is comforting to know that there are other people who are in the similar position as us, who aren't just giving up, who aren't just walking away. We value the strength that everybody is bringing, and we want to encourage everybody to keep going because in the end, just like Michael mentioned, our freedom is at stake. And if we give that up now, we will never get it back. So please find encouragement in that and hope.
Thank you, Veronica.
Thank you very much. I feel a great honesty and feel great. Yes, I think you have something which can hold us upright. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay.
If I could just finish, it's been a harrowing 19 months, and it's been an extreme honor to even be on this program. I've watched so many of your videos here, and I never saw myself being on it, so it's quite the honor for me. And I just want to say thank you very much for having us.
It's the other way around, Michael. Without people like you, we wouldn't be nowhere. And it's so important that we just spread the good news that there's more of us who are fighting the good fight. And that's why it's, again, vice versa. It's an honor and a privilege. And I'm very glad that you came forward, both of you came forward and are speaking out, not just on behalf of yourselves, but also on behalf of probably at least one or maybe two-thirds of the LAPD. And I hope this is going to wake up many more of your colleagues, not just in Los Angeles, but everywhere in the States.
Right. And please, anybody out there, you know, obviously our legal fees are going to be substantial in fighting forward. And if you could please just check us out on roll call, the number 4 freedom at GiveSendGo. We'd appreciate any donation that you send our way. It's all going towards fighting our legal fees.
And I can promise you that I'm in talks with my colleagues, with those who have more courtroom experience in American courts than I do. And I am actively working on putting together a case for you. I would want to be involved in this because I did go to law school in Los Angeles, and I consider myself a Californian. Okay. Well, thank you, guys. And have a great weekend. We'll be in touch.
Thank you very much, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.